Hello, you're listening to People, Pets, and Vets with Dr. Brad Miller and registered veterinary technician Angel Martin.
Hello.
Each week we bring you current events and news in the veterinary industry and share our thoughts and perspective on how they impact us in our animal hospital. We also try to give you an inside and behind-the-scenes glance at our clinic and the people in it. This episode 132 is once again being brought to you by Georgia Veterinary Associates, a family of animal hospitals caring for your family pet. So, correct me if I'm wrong, we are officially in winter, right? We've talked about the seasons, and it really doesn't make sense to me when they start and end, but it's cold.
Yes, we are technically in winter as of, I think, December 21st or 23rd, one of those 2 days.
When does the winter solstice end? Is that what determines?
Well, there's spring, and then there's the summer solstice. So I think the first day of spring is in late April, but let me see.
I would think it would be March. But
let's see.
So anyway, point being, it's cold here in beautiful Lawrenceville,
Georgia.
You are
correct. March 20th.
March 20th. Okay, I would have thought mid, but yeah, I didn't know when. So, so we had an Arctic blast come through and up. I don't know if it's an officially like a nor'easter up in the Northeast, but I know up in New York City, where my oldest son is, it's snowing, it's in the teens, it's super cold, lots of snow. He's probably having a blast. But we had snow threatened here, and we did have a few staff members get concerned at the end of the day because of the threat of snow, but I had to assure them that it was going to be okay and they were going to make it home. And in the end, we got zero flurries, and it was cold, but not too bad other than a lot of wind. So one of the reasons I bring this up is not only did Georgia and the rest of the Southeast get affected, but also included in that Southeast is Florida. So I saw a couple stories about, it was really related to the zoos, I think, around Orlando. They were prepping, making sure their heaters work, putting shelter up, making sure all the animals and critters were going to be warm enough. And what that made me think about, we talked about it at least twice on previous podcasts, but iguanas falling from trees.
Yes.
I wonder if that happened this past weekend, end of the week weekend. I wonder if yesterday or the day before, if we're going to see some news stories come out this next week of iguanas falling from trees.
Well, did you look it up before you podcasted?
No.
Okay.
No,
well,
I've not seen it anywhere. I'm just saying that that's typically what happens when it gets cold in Florida. You want to start falling out of trees.
So. Most of what I saw had everything to do with people putting on their winter boots in Florida, which consisted of memes, obviously, with people wearing socks with flip-flops.
Oh, my gosh.
I thought it was hysterical. Boots in Florida.
I saw one of our clients. She was dressed up in her winter wear yesterday at the front counter, actually, and she was heading to Orlando with Freddie and Buddy. So you know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
But they were going. They rented a house for 10 days. They're going to the beach. They're doing all this stuff. And Disney, of course. She loves Disney. So anyway, I thought that was weird. So let's jump into word of the week. And so,
well, we haven't done this in a while.
Well, it's because evidently I made a big boo-boo last week.
Uh-oh.
So I walked into the clinic Monday, Tuesday, I don't even know what day of the week, it doesn't matter. And one of our employees looked at me and said she was extremely upset with me and she had a bone to pick with me. And I'm like, okay, let's have it. What did I do? And she said that she was, so this is Jen, JJ, not JJ, sorry, Jen.
James.
Jen James, yeah, we'll just say her name. So she let me know that I incorrectly pronounced Kane Corso.
Connie, or however the hell they say it.
Connie.
Heck.
Connie.
Yes.
And I'm like, I've never heard that in my life. Like Connie House. And she just looks at me. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Yes.
And so I walked upstairs to do something at my office and I looked it up and lo and behold, she was right.
She is.
I'm sorry. I doubted you, Jen. but yeah, so Connie, and I swear I've never heard anybody say that before.
So I've definitely heard it. It does not come off of my tongue or out of my brain easily. So I always call it Kane Corso as well.
Do you think the breeder, so this was a story last week about the guy in our area that
went to jail.
He's going to jail, yeah, for
Dogfighting.
Dogfighting.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Connie evidently in Italian means dog, and Corso is Latin pertaining to guardian.
Okay.
So guardian dog, guard dog. Anyway.
Makes sense. They're huge, usually.
I read just a little bit more about them because I'm not that familiar with the breed. I'm fairly familiar with English Mastiffs because I've had those in the past. These are big dogs like that, but they almost became extinct. One story read in the 80s until people started breeding them and making them a little more popular. So I think maybe extinction is maybe a little bit bigger word than I would have used. They probably were very rare.
Yeah.
But I don't know about, you know, a domesticated dog breed becoming extinct. That's not the
Well,
word
I think, yeah, for sure. Falling out of popularity is something. And I think Cane or Connie Corsos have definitely come back into popularity in the last 10 years or so, especially in this area.
So the other thing that Jim brought up per her and Brad's conversation is he evidently said, I didn't realize Dr. Miller was so country in the way he talks.
You do turn on the country.
And I said, well, absolutely I am. And therefore, I have made the decision that I am officially going to continue to call this breed of dog a Cane Corso.
So, totally side note, but I have had plenty of conversations with other people who've heard you on the phone. And your accent changes with the people that you're talking to as well, especially on the phone.
Oh, for sure.
So if we have more of a...
Countrified.
Yes, but maybe maybe like a good old boy or good old girl client, mm-hmm. and you're on the phone with them, or maybe someone that you've known for a longer period of time, your voice is much more relaxed and you do have more of a country accent and your twang
more
comes
twangy.
Out a bit more.
Yeah.
Versus if you are, I guess, talking to someone that you don't know very well or a client and I guess not necessarily acting studious, but like really presenting whatever you're talking about, your tone tightens up and your dialect is
okay.
much tighter. So we being myself and again, other people have heard you on the phone, which are mostly doctors at this point. Have
so
definitely
make fun
made,
of me.
Made comment. Not
y'all
fun.
Y'all make fun of me behind my back.
Not fun. Comment.
Comments. Funny comments.
Just like, I wonder who that was.
That's funny. Have you, along a similar but yet different note, I do find myself when I'm speaking with an elderly person,
mm-hmm.
I start raising my voice and I start almost yelling at them, talking more slowly.
That's interesting. I think people do that as well, quite frankly, with people that you don't think that are understanding you. So I will say with like some foreign clients
yes,
that we have that have, and maybe they completely understand what we're saying, but they're not able to articulate back. But yes, it happens a lot.
For example, instead of talking at our tone of voice, I would be like, no, Mrs. Smith, your dog is vomiting. It's throwing up.
Yeah, I think that's a very natural way to communicate with people, but I do also feel like some people obviously don't take it very well.
Yeah.
Because
they... Once I catch myself doing that, I try to correct it because I'm like, I'm yelling at these people and they probably think I'm an idiot. So,
yeah.
We've got a few stories to talk about. So, I don't know. I mean, I just thought they were interesting. I don't know if there's a whole lot to be gained, but... these mostly came out of the Smart Brief report, so they're from all over the place, but Smart Brief kind of puts them together. And so this first story, Big Dog, Little Dog, Mutation Explains Range of Canine Sizes. I had not ever really thought about the difference between our dog breeds in size and stature. And the story reads that... dogs differ more in size than any other mammalian species on the planet. So I didn't fact check this, but let's just assume that that is correct.
I've heard of something similar to this before, I'm pretty sure. Remember how I got those National Geographic magazines a year or so ago? Because I was going to make myself like
magazines?
A very, very well-rounded individual.
Yeah. How'd that work out?
Well, I don't read them. But they still come in the mail.
Okay.
I do sometimes thumb through the pictures, but... they did have an article very similar to this. So I would think that, and again, if it, not that everything you read is true, but I do believe that there is still a lot to learn about it, but there's obviously some truth to the research that they've been doing.
So, you know, the story reads, for the last 15 years or thereabouts, scientists have known that the gene IGF-1 plays a role in determining the size of the dog. Go on to read the story, but there's small allele, large alleles, and it talks about, you know, the different breeds. And if you've got too small, you're this. If you got a small, large, you're this, that, the other. I didn't want to get into the science of it because, quite honestly, I'm not a geneticist, and it's not that interesting to me, and I don't understand it all that well. But I do think if you think about a 4-pound Chihuahua or Yorkshire Terrier compared to a 200-pound Great Dane compared to a 250-pound English Mastiff, it's pretty amazing. And then all the in-betweens, it's pretty amazing that that these are all canines.
Yes, right? I believe. Yeah, and I'm trying to actually quite frankly find where I found it or where I saw it before in the National Geographic. But I want to say, like, that gene is like less than 1% of the genetic makeup of dogs. So that's how much they are similar but are different.
Yeah.
It's truly just 1%.
So I thought that was interesting for sure. And then where I wanted to go with this is we're going to play a little game, you and I.
Okay.
So it can go back and forth. I'm going to name a dog breed.
Okay.
And we're going to talk medical problems that we commonly see.
Did you check the pronunciation of each of these breeds?
No. Chihuahua is going to be on the list, though. And so I'm just going to throw a breed out there, and then you're going to, you know, maybe spout out what comes to mind, some common problems that we see in the clinic.
Okay.
Really just anything, you know, whether it's social, behavioral, medical, surgical, or just something cute about them. And then I'll comment and I'll give you a couple. You can come back if you want. So,
perfect.
Okay. So Chihuahua.
Chihuahua. First thing that comes to mind is aggression.
Okay.
Definitely. And I think we've talked about this
aggression on
the,
is what I'm going to say.
I believe we've talked about it on the podcast before as well. Like historically, year after year, Chihuahuas are the ones who bite the most people in America. But nonetheless, so dental disease.
Yes.
Chihuahuas also have, I guess, heart disease.
Mitral valve disease, mitral insufficiency.
Yep. And then usually from what I've seen, there are different, even among just the Chihuahuas, they have like these apple-headed Chihuahuas. And so we see like a lot of birth defects, if you will. Where like their fontanelle won't close or they are born with like hydrocephaly.
Yeah, you're talking about. Okay.
That kind of thing.
The other thing I would add in there is medial patella luxations, MPLs.
Ooh, yes.
So
knees.
That's a very common surgical problem that we see. So we had, I don't remember the little one's name, but Friday, there was this cute little middle-aged to older white Chihuahua and everybody just thought this thing was so cute. And it was super cute. Had all of its teeth extracted, to your point, dental disease. And a couple of the girls were trying to draw blood. Jaritza was holding, and Reagan was drawing blood. This little thing, the minute they even brought the needle out, it knew how to open its mouth, gag, turn purple, throw a fit in full extension to where you had let off. And then it got its way. And so they eventually got blood, but it was just kind of amazing to see. And you can, I mean, we see that every day, right?
We do, but it also kind of relates to like small children, right? So like kids who will hold their breath until they turn colors and pass out. And then the parents are like, okay, you can have a chocolate candy bar.
Yes. Okay. You get your way. So,
similar, but different. So people will say like dogs don't really think like that, right? So, dogs that have behavior problems, like, oh, he peed in the carpet, but he only did it because I did something or he was getting back at me or something like that. So you'll hear people, I guess, industry leaders or dog behaviorists say, like, dogs don't necessarily think like that, but they do have learned behavior.
Learned behavior, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
For sure. Okay, golden retriever. You knew it was coming.
Yes, cancer. That's going to be the very first one that I think of, usually like lymphomas.
Yep.
And then
I would agree. People pleasing dogs, right?
Yeah.
Most of them. I've only been bitten by one golden retriever in my life, and it was super nice. I thought I was down on the floor and something triggered him just to snip and bit me on the nose.
So what's interesting is my mom and I actually had this very similar conversation last night. So I have a golden retriever. His name is Tovin. He'll be 4 in April. And he is everything you would think a golden retriever. He's loving. He's affectionate. He's dopey. He's
goofy.
He's gumpy. He would trip over himself. He's the dog who ate the 18 cupcakes and whatever. Mm-hmm. So he is so golden. It's unreal. And so my mom said to me last night, she was like, Angel, are all Goldens kind of like Tovin? And I'm like, well, I don't really know how to answer that, but I told her, I'm like, yeah.
Most, yeah.
We specifically, when we were looking to get another big dog after Vera had passed in 2018, we were thinking about Golden Retrievers specifically for their demeanor, because we had two senior pets in the house, and he would get along with them so well. But she was mainly talking about like how he just, his energy level can explode, but he for the most part is very even keeled.
Yeah, I would agree, but there's a difference. So there are, in my mind, three types, and there's probably more, of Golden Retrievers. There is his breed, which is very classical. He is the blonde golden retriever, medium status, stature, mm-hmm. longer haired, classic Golden Retriever.
Sure.
There is a darker coated, more red Golden Retriever, and they're a little more like
Setterish. That's how I think.
100%. They're slicker coated. It's not as curly. They don't have as much undercoat, and they are a little standard poodle acting, but more setterish. I would agree. And then there is the English Cream, mm-hmm. which is more white, cream colored. And they're very nice dogs, but they're kind of prissy. They're a little more, look at me. They're super quiet. Mm-hmm. They're not as goofy. So within the breed,
Yeah, to your point. And I don't know like if color really makes a difference, but it's just interesting that my mom had this question about like, are all Goldens like Tovin? Like kind of derpy, but very affectionate.
Yeah, around them.
Yeah.
Okay.
So interesting.
Do you want to throw a breed at me, or you want me to keep going?
You can do one more, and then I'll see about throwing a couple your way.
Boxer.
HCM.
Okay. Hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. So.
Or is it DCM?
It's
dilated.
It's just, usually dilated, but okay. Cardiomyopathy. So heart disease. Boxer Great Dane, I would say. Or excuse me, Boxer Doberman.
Yeah. So that's pretty much, and then mast cell tumors.
Cancer. Cancer, primarily mast cell tumors on the skin.
Yeah. Interesting. Those are kind of the big two for boxers.
Well, I'm going to throw a third one out there. Hyperplastic gingivitis.
Ooh, yes.
So a lot of gingival hyperplasia, excessive growth, starts growing down over the teeth. Doesn't get on the occlusal surface, but a lot of times we're doing a dental cleaning and or evaluation. We will actually have to physically cut and remove a lot of that excessive gingival tissue to get it back to the level of like right below the crown on that lateral aspect. So
interesting. Okay, so I'm going to throw out Pekingese.
Pekingese, where did that come from?
So it's a breed that we just don't see that much of. So remember how we were talking about like quote unquote extinct? I feel like when I came into the veterinary industry 16 years ago, Pekingese, we used to see more of them.
Okay,
and you don't see any of them anymore.
Well, they're rare. So dental disease, because most of them have an underbite. And so we see a lot of dental disease. Mitral valve, heart disease again, and then atopic dermatitis, atopy, environmental allergens causing itchy skin.
Any eye disease?
They get anything and everything. I mean, hyperpigmented keratitis would be the number one just from exposure.
Yeah.
They get the black pigment on their corneas.
They have those huge, big, round eyes.
Yeah.
And then...
So they get in dog fight, or, you know, if they're the victim of a dog fight, anything, you know, pressure... or causes pressure, then they will have a proptosed eye.
Yeah.
The globe will come out of the socket, yeah.
And then I was also thinking Pekingese, like, oftentimes they have terrible, like, if they're not well cared for, their just coats are awful. So they require tons and tons of
all
grooming.
All these little breeds that have longer coats, not Chihuahuas, obviously, but, yeah, the little bitty ones. That's one thing I've always told clients. I've never had a dog like that. I like them. If I had one, it would be groomed every 6 weeks, period.
Yeah.
So, to your point, we see more Pyrenees than Pekingese these days.
Yes. Isn't that interesting?
It's very crazy. Okay, one more, and then we're going to move on.
So, I don't get three, and you got three?
No, I only get one. You only get two.
Oh, gosh. Okay. German Shepherd dogs.
Oh, gosh. Great with their owners and families, typically horrible with other people because they're extremely untrusting and geared up and anxious.
So behavior,
Behavior.
usually, yep.
Which is why they are often used as working dogs by police, etc., military. Medically speaking, nothing comes to my mind as far
Hips.
as,
Hips.
well, yeah, I was going to go more like surgical. So the things that do come to mind, hip dysplasia, and oftentimes you'll see a dog that's, older, 8, 9, 10, owners never knew they had bad hips, and we see them, they're just horrible. And they
Yeah.
finally decompensate and they can barely get around. So hip dysplasia, and then, most of the German Shepherds are a little bit down in their, how do I say this? Camp
Haunches.
down in their haunches to where their rear end is lower than their shoulder level. And then ultimately down the road, they can develop a degenerative neuropathy or myelopathy, lower spinal cord disease degeneration to where they get even weaker and worse. Along the same lines, lumbosacral disease, instability
So,
at the lumbosacral joint causing pain and
I
weakness.
am not a breeder, but from what I understand or from what I've read, heard, whatever, a lot of that is more with the American like breeding standard of German Shepherds. You don't necessarily find the same
The German
lumbosacral
type.
or the hunched down in a true German or like a Belgian Malinois. So very similar but different, right? Like you don't
I
see
would
that
also
in a
throw in FCPs, fragmented coronoid processes of the elbow. So evidently it's orthopedic and neurologic.
And so there's one eye disease that mostly German Shepherds or only German Shepherds,
The pannus,
pannus.
eosinophilic keratitis.
Is that pretty much true that it's like
It can
not
happen in other breeds,
predominantly,
but
but like mostly in German Shepherds?
yeah. That is one cool thing about the different dog breeds that we're talking about. So again, we've talked about Chihuahuas all the way up to Great Danes, Mastiffs. There are certain things, certain diseases, certain like copper storage disease of the liver in Bedlington Terriers. Well, I wouldn't know a Bedlington Terrier if it walked in the door, quite
Oh, only if it
honestly.
was cut the way that it should with its little like triangle
But there are
ears.
these, and we can refer to lists, but for the most part, the common things, most of veterinarians
What
and
is it that
technicians,
Springers get? Rage
rage
syndrome?
syndrome,
Yeah, English Springers.
yeah. So at the introduction, I was thinking about this the other day. You are a registered veterinary technician. Other areas of the country, they are called certified
And
veterinary technicians,
then
right?
in other areas, they're called licensed.
And then licensed technicians. And so it all means the same, but it doesn't come across the same. So I've never thought about this until, again, just the other day. A registered veterinarian, that just means you're registered, but it doesn't say that you're certified or licensed. I don't know. I think maybe that needs to change, but it's always been an RVT in Georgia.
It has always been an RVT in Georgia. So in Michigan, where I graduated from, it's an LVT, so you're a licensed veterinary
License.
technician. So I think the assumption is that you're licensed with the veterinary board or the state or whatever. I dislike more than registered certified, and I feel like that just means to me more certificate than anything. And yet, in order to become a certified registered technician or
Is it like
certified
I take
licensed or
my
whatever,
sword and I anoint you,
you're dubbed.
certify you? Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was just kind of a technicality. So
No, there's tons and tons of effort into trying to get it standardized across the country. So it probably will not happen in my lifetime, sadly, but
well, we've got
there's tons and tons of effort.
bigger fish to fry these days than that. But it is something that I understand a little bit more and kind of agree that it does need to be standardized. So, on to a couple of other stories. So, again, I'm not we're not gonna spend much time on this. Study confirms long-standing suspicion: domesticated cats have smaller brains than their wild ancestors. Okay, makes sense. Evidently, the North African wildcat is a species that is a direct ancestor of many of our domesticated cats, and its skull was compared with 103 other skulls at a national museum in Scotland. And the bottom line is the skulls and the cranial vault that contain the brain has gotten smaller as animals have become more domesticated. And so I think the implication is that they are perhaps not having to use their brain as much since they're domesticated. But beyond that, I'm not really sure why that's super important. Comment?
So, no, I just think it's interesting. So just reading through a little bit more of the article, it talks about how, so when you think about a cat, like why domesticate a cat? Why not domesticate like monkeys or something else? Like why not something more useful to human beings?
I'm not sure why they decided to study this, but somebody got funding and decided it'd be a great idea to do this.
I know, but I'm saying like back in all of our ancestors' days, like why would we domesticate dogs and cats? Dogs, right? It makes sense to me as a protector. A cat, like, what is it? And okay. So reading through the article, it actually kind of says that they became useful in protecting their grains and their harvest from varmint and rodents.
Yeah,
so that makes sense.
They were useful, quote-unquote, on the farm or wherever, maybe in a, not a factory, a granary or something like that, where all these feeds and seeds were. Yeah.
You're talking, like, 30s. I'm talking about, like,
you're talking about like
Egyptians.
Egyptian times.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So even then, like, why would you domesticate a cat, right? And so it makes sense that they have to be useful to you. And it's not just companionship, which I do believe that there was some of
that. So I'm thinking, you know, of the statues and whatnot, you know, that you see outside the palace or at the foot of the staircase going up to the king and maybe they're real, maybe they're not, but yeah. So, there was some usefulness for sure. Sticking with our theme of cats. So new research has established that there is a very, beneficial therapeutic effect of cats with different degrees, different spectrums of autism and their families. I don't know that there's ever been a study about dogs going into homes with autistic kids, but I do think it's super interesting that they chose to put these cats in. It does make sense that they are...
I think the kids are going to do better with cats, or some kids would do better with cats, right?
Right, the sensory aspect, because dogs, you know, can be rambunctious, they can be in your face, they're barking, they're doing all these things. So, again, I think it's pretty interesting they chose cats, and the results of the study show that cats actually helped most of these families with the kids in the household. The kids, via surveying the parents, did better, interacted more, dealt with stress in their environment more easily after having the cats in the household for 18 weeks. And then likewise, the cats tolerated going into the new family situation, and they studied this by looking at the cortisol levels in the fecal material of the cats. And so it was very, very non-subjective.
There's been tons of studies in the past, though, about like just simply petting an animal and how that relieves stress. Like I think we've talked about it before on the podcast, where people would take cats or dogs into like senior facilities or even hospitals and that kind of thing. And just the sheer act of petting an animal.
The interaction and petting.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then so it's both, right? It's you physically touching and petting, and then you're getting that reaction back from the pet.
Of course.
So we've always said human-animal bond goes both ways. And so service animals, we typically think of service animals as being dogs, because you typically don't take a cat into this hospital to interact with people. But, again, very, very kind of cool that cats – we know that they play a huge role in many, many families. We know historically there are more cats in households than dogs, which blows our minds because
we don't see them.
We see less than 20% of cats or felines compared to canines.
Yeah.
But
so speaking of, like, I bring my cat in on a routine basis, right? But everyone is always very surprised to know that I have a cat at home.
Yeah, because people, you don't talk about your cat.
Yeah.
You don't. Yeah, you're not bringing your cat in for a bath. You're not bringing. Mm-hmm. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So, keeping with the feline theme, last story to talk about, the Bidens. You know, our President Biden and his wife Jill.
The First Lady.
First Lady Dr. Jill Biden. They have revealed that they have a family cat, and the family cat is now in the White House. The cat's name is Willow. Named after...
So is it called the first cat?
The first cat, yeah. I guess literally it is called the first cat. So, now what if there's so the first cat, there's a first dog. May let me get my okay. The Biden's previous pet prior to the White House, Champ, died at the age of 13 in June. I was unaware of that. We had talked about their other dog named
Major.
Major that was at the White House and after a month or two evidently bit somebody in the Secret Service, somebody else that was associated with the dog. And after much discussion and consultation with behaviorists and veterinarians, etc., it was decided that Major did not thrive in that environment and needed to be placed elsewhere, which I
So
think was an awesome decision.
basically, they don't really call it that, but he's been rehomed, is
He's
what
been
it
rehomed.
is basically what
Or
it
somebody's
says.
fostering,
It says he's staying with family friends, but to me, that means rehomed.
now that's the story. We talked about this a year ago, and that was the same story that some people, at least where they are from, the Bidens are from, that's where the pet is at least temporary, if not permanently rehomed. And so their new cat, Willow, is now in the White House. I'm assuming getting along with Major.
No, so
No, I'm sorry.
Major, no, Major doesn't. So Champ is deceased. He died in June. Major was their rescue shepherd that had some aggressive incidents.
Commander is their new
Puppy,
puppy that is
yes.
in the White House. And they adopted him last December. So
Yes.
Willow and Commander are in the White House. Major is not. The most interesting part of the story was I did not know that George W. Bush had a cat in the White
So,
House.
yes, but you're missing out the part. So it says that the last time there was a pet cat at the White House was during the George W. Bush administration, and her name was India.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm
So
saying.
I would agree. I don't know that I knew that they had cats, but I definitely did not think that they had dogs.
Do you remember who had a pony in the White House?
We talked about this. Reagan.
I think it was FDR.
I don't know. We talked about this
Yeah.
when we had conversation about Major at some point in the
Don't
past.
know that the pony was in the White House, probably was on the White House lawn.
So we were talking about breeds earlier in the show. So what breed was the Obama dog?
Portuguese water dog.
Do you know how many Portuguese water dogs we have as clients?
No more than two.
I can only think of one, and his name is Porter.
Yeah, that's the only one I know as well.
Yeah, interesting. They did not, you know, how typically, like, when pets or animals, essentially specific
Yeah.
breeds, are
Jack Russell's got rid,
advertised,
yep,
if you
yeah,
will, then their popularity gains. I did not see a huge increase in the Portuguese water dog
yeah. Yeah, they're
population.
just rare. They're rare. So,
He's super nice. The dog is great.
yeah. So, okay, before you sign us out, let's have some predictions for the this is Championship Sunday, NFL.
I predict Tom Brady's gonna retire.
Yeah,
I'm
maybe,
just
maybe
kidding.
not.
I'm teasing.
We'll see if that comes to pass. So, do you know who's playing?
I did see another meme that I thought was really funny. Tom Brady retires 129-22 to 129-2022.
Oh gosh. Gosh.
Basically, like an 8-hour
Yeah, 8 hours
retirement.
and not so fast. So, okay, who's going to win the AFC Championship?
I don't know who's playing. The Chiefs.
The Chiefs. I'm going to go with the Chiefs. The
I really didn't know
Chiefs
that they
by
were
6
playing.
points.
Are they playing? Who are they playing? The Vikings?
Yeah, the Chiefs are playing the Vikings.
Who are
Yeah,
they
they're
playing?
playing the Bengals. Joe Burrow might
The
actually,
what?
the Cincinnati Bengals.
The
Yeah,
Bengals or the Bengals?
Bengals,
How is it
Bengals.
Bengals?
Bengals.
Aren't they Bengals?
Okay, depends on where you grew up. Joe Burrow's. I don't know. It's going to be a good game.
I don't know who Joe Burrows is.
And then the NFC Championship. Who's going to win that one?
We didn't talk about the weather.
We did talk about the weather, so.
I'm wanting all of the listeners to understand that this is like people, pets, vets, weather,
Yeah.
sports.
Okay. Is it going to be the 49ers or the Rams?
What? There's more than two teams playing?
There's two games today.
The 49ers.
Okay, I disagree. The Rams. The
It's
Rams
the
by
Niners and the
seven.
Chiefs in the playoffs or whatever it's
You're
called,
saying the
Super Bowl.
Chiefs and the Niners. I'm going to say the Chiefs and the Rams.
Chiefs, Niners. Who are the Chiefs playing?
The Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, the Bengals.
The Bengals. Okay. All right. Sign us out, please.
Check in next week as we discuss more in the news and in our industry, as I already said, and the sports and the weather. Follow us on Instagram at People, Pets, and Vets. Follow all of our clinics on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Check out our blogs on our website at mygavet.com. And remember, without people, pets are simply animals.
Bye, guys.